celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome to my right, Dr. Debbie, to my left, Joey Villani. Straight and center in a little cubicle, Lori Brooks. And answering the phone calls right now, Miss Judy Francis. I see all the lines are lit up there, so we're gonna head to those phones in just a couple of seconds here, right?
Right. We have to. We got to get to those calls.
You should train Ladybug to help you or assist
you
with that. Seems like she just sits here and lays there during the show and really doesn't.
Well, at least she's here.
Okay. Lori Brooks, who works so very hard there in the newsroom, what do you have on today's show?
Well, you know what cognition is, right?
Sure.
It's kind of like your perception of
things.
So nowadays, scientists are working on dognition.
Dognition. Mm-hmm. Is that like how smart dogs are?
Well, kind of had their attempts at problem solving and stuff. We'll give you the latest information behind it.
I know.
Wait, what was that? Dog what?
Dognition.
Dognition.
Yes. That's how you start your dog, is with your dognition.
Yes, exactly. Sounds like you need a key for it.
See, it sounds to me like dognation.
What about you, Joey? What are you working on for today's show?
Accessories. Some really, really cool accessories that I've seen recently at a show that's a lot more than leashes and collars. So, hang around so you can hear what's new and exciting to put on your dog.
And then when you say accessories, you like fingernail polish type of stuff?
That's definitely one of them. I'll definitely say that. That's definitely one of them.
Can I just say that's way over the edge right now?
No,
up my dog.
We love accessories.
Do you want to know something? You're going to go over the cliff when you hear what I have to say.
Okay. Well, that's on the way right here on Animal Radio. Judy just handed this story to me from, actually, I don't know what newspaper because...
It's the Tribune.
It is the Tribune. Okay.
Here in San Luis Obispo, California.
They have trained an otter to use an inhaler. You know those asthma inhalers?
I got one.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
That's my inhaler right there. Every time my lungs get tight, I have to right there, and I feel a whole lot better. Is that how you use yours, Joey?
That's exactly how.
There you go. They have actually trained an otter to use one of these. She was having trouble breathing, and especially after the smoke from the wildfires. They diagnosed the otter with asthma,
and
the trainer uses food to teach the one-year-old to push her nose on the inhaler to take a deep breath.
How cool is that?
And the medication is the exact same that us humans use.
So that's amazing.
That is
That is amazing.
It's weird. People don't realize that pets get asthma.
Yeah.
Dogs get it, too.
Our cat has asthma.
Yeah, our cat does.
Well, I'm surprised that both of you guys are on inhalers and in animal-related industries.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just do it for the fun of it.
Well, you want to know something? Mine actually is pet-related. It's from my bird. I never had asthma before.
You are allergic.
And I had my bird for about 7 years, and all of a sudden I came down with it, and the doctor, when he found out that I had an umbrella cockatoo, which... it comes from their skin because they have a powdery skin that actually protects their feathers. And he goes, you're going to have to get rid of the bird. Well, the bird's still here and I'm on medication. So there you go.
Here, try some. Pretty good, huh? I'm just saying, don't knock it until you try it there. I'm getting a little head rush.
Yeah, lightheaded over there, Hal. Too much oxygen.
Jason Feldman will be on the show today. He's a Chicago realtor, and he's going to tell you how to sell your house if you have cats or dogs or animals of any sort, because it may not be easy to sell that puppy once your animals have been living in it for 10, 15 years. I know this particular place where we live, they'll actually have to demolish.
Hal, it's not that bad.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, they'll have to demolish.
No, they won't. They replace the carpet. That's it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the wood and the concrete and everything below is even... She doesn't listen to this radio show. Are you kidding me? I hope not. Anyway, Jason Feldman will tell us how we can clean up the house to make it look presentable and sellable. And maybe he'll give us some tips on finding a place, too, because that's his business. He's made a pet-friendly real estate business.
He's found his niche.
He certainly has. Miss Lori Brooks, have we gone to you yet? Have we seen? Yes, we did.
We need to go to the phones.
Okay. We're going to the phones. Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Pretty good. My little one just had a bout with, I guess, what they call colitis or whatever, you know, the little blood in the stool mucus and all that. And, of course, it's frightening.
Sure.
It's worse for me than it is for him, you know. They gave him what the classic medication is, What do they call that? Metronidazole. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you got
it. After that's over, you know, and everything is firmed up now, and everything that comes in is going out. A couple people have said I should give them a probiotic or something to reestablish what that may have killed. In other words, that's an antibiotic, correct?
Metronidazole is, in fact, an antibiotic. Yes. So is this only bout of diarrhea and suspected colitis, or has he had other bouts?
He's had it maybe three times before. He's a little West Highland boy. 7 years old, and it seems to be after he licks grass, you know, where somebody has been or something like that. I think that's just my observation of when, you know, what might be upsetting the tummy, you know.
Okay. Well, colitis can be triggered by a lot of different things, and it isn't typically just something as simple as licking grass. A lot of times there's inflammatory problems that we can have. Dogs can have inflammatory bowel disease. Sometimes they can have parasites like whipworms. There's a whole category of stress-related colitises that we can get, sometimes with psychological or physical stress. And there's even fiber-responsive colitises. So there's a lot of different things that can cause this. So I guess my first thing is, if this is the only bout he's ever had, you know, I don't necessarily think you need to go on a long-term probiotic. For some pets that are really struggling with a bout of digestive upset, whether it's colitis or generalized vomiting, diarrhea, if it's deemed appropriate by the veterinarian, a lot of times we will use probiotics. And the idea is that we want to help to restore those good beneficial bacteria, because there's always this like little battle that goes on in an animal's gut. And there's good bacteria and then there's bad bacteria. And if there's plenty of good bacteria, they're kind of taking up the seats in the theater, then those bad bacteria, the idea is they don't have as much opportunity to get established. So we're trying to create that crowded theater environment in your dog's gut. So a probiotic can help by doing that. So in many cases for pets that are on antibiotics for a lot of various reasons, not just diarrhea, we will use probiotics just to help to try to keep that good balance of bacteria in the gut. So that's often used during and after a course of an antibiotic. So perhaps if this is, like you said, more than the first episode your doggy has had, then a good probiotic would be in line. And I think everyone always asks me, I knew you were going to say that, because everybody does. And my best recommendation is to go with a veterinary produced probiotic. A lot of research still needs to be done into what is the best probiotic. And there is not a standard agreement in veterinary medicine. There's a lot of different cultures. You may find some that have lactobacillus, bifidobacterium, enterococcus are all real common ones in different veterinary produced probiotics. But efficacy and stability is really a thing. So that's where I don't often recommend just going to buy a cheapo one that you'll find on the shelf, because probiotics have to survive the gut. They have to survive a lot of acid environment in the stomach, get past the bile in the small intestine. And old probiotics, or those that aren't properly either refrigerated or freeze-dried, they're just not going to have viable live culture in there. And that is really important. So there's various different ones.
Would be at the top of the list then.
It depends. There are some human ones that are refrigerated. In the veterinary world, I have two different products on my shelves that I use. I take it back, three. But the two main dog cat ones that I use are the Purina Fortiflora, which is a freeze-dried like a little packet. And the other is IAM's ProStora, which is a little chew tab. And in my hands, I find those two are great for dogs and cats. There are some other ones that we'll use for some of the different exotics as well.
As a former medical student, and I dropped out after 2 years of biology, but, you know, the rule is first do no harm. And I think especially with him, a lot of things that I would do with a person or to the two-legged members of the family, you know, I experiment with them, but for some reason we're so cautious with that little boy.
Yeah.
And just don't want to. First thing is to do no harm, and I think that's what holds us back on a lot of these natural therapies, and even with medications and vaccines. We're so worried about something adverse happening, because they seem so sensitive to almost everything, you know?
Well, and I think it is. There's a lot of people will take better care of their pets, and they put more thought into their pet's care than sometimes to their own. It's like, I got a headache, no big deal.
Absolutely.
Got a cut, scratch.
Absolutely. Yes. There's no doubt about that.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that everyone always thinks that probiotics are just for digestive problems, but the truth is, and we're finding it has a lot of applications in other areas of the body, because 70% of your immune system is actually located in your digestive tract, or a dog or cat's digestive tract. So that's where a lot of the battle goes on. So probiotics have anti-inflammatory properties. They enhance the immune function in the body, as well as having that gut battle with those bad bacteria. So there is definitely a lot of indication for it.
There's life and death in the colon. in that time period.
And, between bacteria, you bet.
It's absolutely true. Thank you very much. We love the show. My wife and I listen to it all the time. We just try to. We don't have a radio in the house, so we're always wanting to be in the car longer so we can listen to your show.
Oh, that is awesome to hear. Well, thank you so much for your call today, Steve. Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book, no matter what genre. Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
You're listening to Animal Radio.
Hi, Lynn. How are you doing? Lynn?
Fine. Yes.
Where are you calling from?
Florida. Marianna, Florida.
Marianna, Florida. Which side of Florida is that on?
Near the Panhandle.
The Panhandle. I like your accent there. And your little laugh, too. I like your southern laugh there, too. I'm sorry, you probably called to talk to the doc, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I have a question for her.
She's right.
Absolutely,
here.
Go ahead.
I have a 5-month-old Shih Tzu, and he likes to eat his poo.
Ew, lovely.
Not funny. And then you have poo
left. Oh, yeah. And is that the only thing that he's kind of eaten abnormally?
Yes, I have purchased some pills that they told me to get for him. Someone told me to get these. I think it's called Deter or something like that. It doesn't work. And somebody else told me about Adolf's meat tenderizer, but I don't want to give him that because it's full of sodium.
Yeah, and he's probably tender enough, right?
No, he is tender. He's very tender. So I don't know. And I've also been told it's a deficiency, that they do it because they're deficient in something, but I just need to figure it out and have him stop.
Yeah, now you said he's a youngster then, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All righty. Well, this is a kind of a unfortunate behavior that a lot of dogs have, and we do see it primarily in puppies. So it's something that we can work through, and we can try to kind of train them out of that, but it does take some concerted efforts. And some of those products you mentioned are sometimes helpful. And when you feed those either powder or tablets to the pet, it imparts a nasty taste to the stool, which, you know, is already kind of a crazy thing to imagine that poop tastes good in some way. But they can be helpful as an adjunct to try to help this stop this behavior. But it does take some behavioral techniques as well. And one of the big things that I would tell you with a puppy is we want to supervise the potty time. So we want to actually take the puppy outside, go have them do their business, praise them, reward them. Oh, what a good doggy. And, you know, lay it on heavy. And then use that as a very strong positive reinforcement. Then when the poop's there, you pick it up. It's out of there. It's not a reminder. We don't leave it out for long periods of time so they can have that opportunity. It becomes hard if we let the doggy go outside and do it at will on his own because there's no way of actually monitoring what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Now, and a lot of people kind of, and I don't know, maybe in your dog you've seen this where you try to correct them with the poop, and what happens if you catch him in the act?
Well, I'm a truck driver, so he usually runs into his crate, and sometimes he stashes it in there, so I'm checking it multiple times a day. He just kind of looks at me and like, what are you talking about? This is mine.
Yeah, you know, and for some dogs, it can become kind of a bit of a game where when we give the correction and tell them no or give that to me and we kind of chase them, it actually perpetuates that behavior and that makes it something fun that they've just got, you know, some attention over. So we want to make sure that you don't do that, and rather when you catch them in the act, you actually want to give them something else to think about. So, you know, a squeaky doggy toy, something else that you have nearby where you can go, ooh, look at what I got, and run the other way. And then hopefully we'll drop the poop and he'll find something that's more interesting.
Well,
so that's really important.
Immediately, as soon as he does it, we're very diligent about picking it up. But sometimes if, like, one of us is sleeping and the other one is driver, and, you know, you can't just stop in the middle of the road and pick it up. So we have to pull over, and by then he's already crated it. I mean, he's got it in his little cave, and he, you know, he's just so proud of it.
And you did mention some concerns. You mentioned some concerns with like a health problem. And in a young pup, I'd say probably not very likely that there's a health problem. But we would want to check a stool sample, make sure he doesn't have any kind of intestinal parasites. For older pets that do this behavior, we look at nutritional problems or metabolic problems. But I'd say it's probably nothing medical. It's more just a training type thing we're just going to have to get through. And there's hope. So I, you know, keep up with some of those remedies over the counter and, you know, try some of those techniques. And I think we'll kind of get him past that and get him to focus on something else. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. I go to the dog park a lot. Sometimes I even bring my dog, and I see people there communicating with their dogs like they would another person, talking to them like they're human. There's nothing wrong with that, but just so you know, your dog has no idea what you're saying. Your dog will never learn how to speak or act like a human, but you can definitely learn to speak dog. Your dog watches you a lot. He's studying your body language. Do you carry yourself like a strong, confident, and calm pack leader? Or do you get frazzled easily? Your dog is very sensitive to your state of mind. Dogs are always trying to find their place to find themselves within a pack. If you're a strong, confident, secure pack leader, you make that job a lot easier for your dog. So your dog will be much calmer. We've all seen the dogs at the park that are barking constantly and acting like nervous wrecks. That's because they are. Most of the time, dogs like that have been forced into the position of being the pack leader. And that's just not comfortable for them. They need you to step up and be the pack leader. And how do you do that? Well, by learning to speak dog. Your dog watches what you do. He's not concerned with your words. So if he enters the house first, he's in charge. If he walks ahead of you on a leash, he's in charge. If he disrespects your space or other folks and jumps on you, he's in charge. If you let him bark like crazy and run amok, he's in charge. The question is, how do you become the pack leader? It all starts with leash training and knowing how to give your dog a correction, and only praising for the desired behavior. When he doesn't, you ignore him or you correct him. What is a correction? Pretty much it's like a tap on the shoulder. You're redirecting the dog's attention, putting him in the frame of mind you want him to be in. It's really important that you walk your dog, get all that energy out. It'll make him calmer and easier for you to train. You want him to walk at your side or behind you, not in front. Let your arm be relaxed down at your side. No tension. With a little slack so that you can flick your wrist when you need to and cause a correction. Of course, you're going to need a choke chain or something similar. You might have to correct him many times before he gets the idea he needs to walk right by your leg and not pull. But he will get the idea. Use the heel command a lot. Just that one word. Just be consistent. Don't lose your patience. Be calm.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. 500 ordinary people / wannabe scientists and dog lovers from all over the world have contributed data to a new study of what goes on inside the minds of their dogs. They all did this by playing games with their pets at home and then submitting their information to help researchers find out more about canine cognitive skills and problem solving. So, what did they learn? Well, from one of these several game-like tests that they did, they found that dogs rely more on their memory than their sense of smell to find a hidden treat. Most of us think dogs use their sense of smell for everything, but actually they use a whole range of senses when they're problem-solving. All of this information, by the way, was collected through a website called Dognition.com, which was started by the very same doctor who founded the Canine Cognition Center, the famous place at Duke University. What is the equivalent of a board of supervisors in Camden County, New Jersey, which is just outside Philadelphia, has voted unanimously to prohibit pet stores from selling animals from puppy mills. The representative said they're standing up for animals of their county and want to ensure that no one is profiting off of the inhumane treatment of puppy mills. And they add that several other counties and towns from all over the country have inquired with them about the legislation and how they might go about enacting it themselves. Have you ever known an animal that did not want to sleep in bed with you? I didn't think so. I don't either. So how lucky are this couple's 5 cats and 2 dogs? Because this pair made this huge, gigantic 11-foot wide bed in their bedroom that takes up most of the room, but they say is big enough to share with all of their pets at the same time. We have, by the way, the link on our website where you can see a picture of this wonderful creation. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, who's this?
Gay Wallace.
Hi, Gay. How are you doing?
Okay.
Where are you calling from today?
California.
Where in California?
Cala Mesa.
Are you listening on Coast or XM?
Coast.
Listening on Coast. Very good. Thank you very much. You're on with Dr. Debbie.
Well, what can I do for you today?
I was wondering if you could tell me which is probably the healthiest purebred dog you can get, like a medium-sized. At the biggest, okay. I don't want a big, huge dog. I had a red chow, and she died 2.5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So currently you don't have any dogs or other pets right now?
I have a cat.
Okay. So preferably you want to have a dog that's going to get along with the kitty.
Well, I don't know if that's possible or not. She's a feral cat, and she's been with me inside the house since I've had her, you know, and the chow was outside dog. So she doesn't really know any other pet, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things that we probably be wanting to know when you're looking for a pet. Some of the personal household things that go on, what kind of pet are you looking for other than a medium-sized pet? Any kind of activities? Do you like to go out and exercise with your dog, or do you want a pet that's just going to sit on?
Well, I don't do a lot of exercise. I walk some, but I have a pacemaker in, and so I can't really exercise a lot.
Okay. And do you have a preference? Because another big thing we always counsel owners is that, are we looking for a long-haired dog, one that you're going to groom, one that's you take to the groomer?
No, one that doesn't have to be groomed.
Okay, one
and
that just kind of sheds.
I prefer a female.
Okay. Well, females are definitely, I'd say, some very good pets, especially if you're looking kind of at a single pet home. And if you're looking for more of a quiet pet, there's a lot of different pets we could look at and different breeds. The trick is, and your question's kind of tough, because there isn't just one breed that we would look at that is kind of the best fit for your situation or for everyone's situation. It's always going to be a little different. So there's a lot of breeds that have really good attributes as far as that are quiet, that are, you know, smaller to medium dogs that have that kind of hair coat. But I'd also encourage you know, it's all about saving lives and adopting, so sometimes the purebred isn't always the way we go.
Yeah.
And
I love Cocker Spaniels, but I know they have a lot of ear problems.
Well, they can, and certainly Cocker Spaniels have, you know, the potential for ear problems, some skin problems, definitely some allergies, some eye issues. But when we look at a lot of the different dog breeds, you could almost make that case for every breed.
Really?
So if I pick a breed, you know, even like a Jack Russell Terrier, they have a lot of allergy problems. They're very high-energy dogs, so they can develop some anxiety problems inside the home if they're not exercised fully. Mm-hmm. So I could kind of go through every breed and find a couple things to counter that argument and say that might not be the best breed. I think really the biggest thing that I would encourage you to is to find a pet with a personality that's best suited for you. And hopefully everything else will come along with that package. But to go to the shelters and look for the smaller breed dogs that kind of fit the physical characteristics that you're looking for and get to know that personality, because if they have that active personality, they want to go run and play and jump and they're very athletic, that doesn't sound like that's going to be a good fit for you.
Hines is usually healthier, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the Hines 57, the benefit of that is you still get a lot of the good breed qualities, but it kind of gets the bad things get diluted out. So we run into less problems with inbreeding and where some of those genetic problems can be perpetuated by generation. So I would definitely encourage you to look for that mixed breed that might just, you know, sparkle your eye and look like the pet that's going to fit for your home.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope that helps some. Let us know if you do find a new friend. We'd love to hear about that baby.
Okay. I'm not going to do anything. I'm supposed to go on a cruise, and I don't want to do anything until I get back from that. Because, you'd have to leave it 12 days by itself.
Right. And it's always good to make sure you're fully prepared to, you know, take on that responsibility, whether it be the time commitments, just to have your life in the same spot where, you know, you can welcome a new pet into the home.
Okay.
So that's a very good decision.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Gay. We appreciate it. Send us pictures. We always love to see pictures of the new family members there.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, it's Vinny Penn, your party animal on Animal Radio, celebrating 2 years of party animals on Animal Radio. I hope you've been enjoying them as much as I've been enjoying them. I want to send this one out to a buddy of mine who is constantly attacking my Facebook status updates about my children. And when he calls me and I have one of my kids doing my outgoing message, sounding more adorable than ever. You've reached Vinny. He's not here right now. When this friend of mine hears it, he's like, that is so ridiculous, having your kid. That's so corny. He doesn't have children. He's never wanted children. That's fine. But he is the most over-the-top dog lover. He has three dogs. When one of his beloved dogs passed away last year or so, the dog was 18 years old, I believe. He wept and wept, and rightfully so, 18 years with the dog. And he's a writer, as like I like to consider myself to be. And he wrote this incredibly touching ode to the loss of his dog. This past September, my daughter started first grade, and I didn't even try to approach the same degree of sentimentality, of course, but I was still sentimental enough to say, I remember holding a baby in my arms, and I saw a six-year-old walk out the door today and had to wipe a tear from my – and he attacked me. That is so corny. What is wrong with you? What a weepy crybaby. How can you love a dog the way you do – and yet not a little, a small child? Who are you? W.C. Fields? I don't even understand what kind of, I think there's, he has a split personality. I don't know what it is. I honestly think he would like my kids more. Like when he met them, I'm like, you know, say hello. This is my daughter, Stella. This is my son, Luke. And he went, hi. He's about 50 years old. He's very grumpy. I really think he would have liked it better if I said, these are my kids. This is Rover and this is Marley. And he would have been like, hello. He would have touched the tops of their mess, tousled their hair. Well, hello, Rover. Hello, Marley. Vinny Penn, Party Animal on Animal Radio.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Some people teach their dog to sit, maybe shake hands or catch a frisbee. But a New Jersey woman tried to teach her dog how to dial 911 and ended up in a lot of trouble. Sylvia D'Antonio admitted placing three late-night 911 calls to the Parsippany, New Jersey Police Department. The police dispatcher was alarmed because when the calls were picked up, the only communication was heavy breathing. The calls were traced and three squad cars raced to D'Antonio's home, only to find her trying to teach her German Shepherd how to call for help. The police were not amused and slapped her with a summons for disorderly conduct. Maybe she should have tried teaching him how to order a pizza first. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Hey, this is Sean Hayes on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're gonna love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us, but you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day, guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
It is with great honor I present to you the dog father.
You may kiss his ring. Actually, where is your ring? I think someone stole your ring.
I'm not wearing one today.
Must have lost it or something like that. Joey Volani, ladies and gentlemen, on Animal Radio. What's up?
So, you know what? I want to talk about accessories.
Clothing and stuff like that.
So, really? It's well above clothing,
okay.
My friend.
Okay.
Clothing is old hat now. I was at a show this weekend, and they had some new and exciting things. And my favorite thing were fake eyelashes for dogs.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
No. Yep.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. I mean, you don't put them like you would put them on a person, you know, right on the eyelid itself. You put it a little bit above with the same type of glue, and they stand up. It looks, some dogs it looked really good on, others it just looked ridiculous. It guess it depended on the whole presentation. But not only that, they have now stick nail polish that you can use. They have hair extension. They have wigs. They have colors that you can put in.
This is just wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
It's cool stuff. It really is. And anyone that thinks that the dog don't like it, the attention that the pets get, they absolutely love it as soon as you put it in. They know. Yeah. I don't know how they know, but they know.
That's exactly, you know, at what point did we go too far? But I agree with Joey. I think he's right that the animal knows something is up and they appreciate the attention.
They appreciate it.
Some just strut, Hal. Haven't you seen them? They like it. And they know everybody's looking at them.
Oh, you guys are goofy.
I got to check out those eyelashes after the show. That's what I'm going
to Well, check. I got to be honest with you. Of course, I brought back a few pairs to try.
Oh, good. So we'll try them out.
I had to. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, just when you go to your groomer, you know, you can ask them, and a lot of groomers probably don't even know that these exist yet, but they're in their local, they're in their catalogs, unfortunately, well, or fortunate, maybe. Groomers don't have too many outlets to buy their stuff, so there's like 3 or 4 national catalogs that they're in, so tell your groomer to order some and find them for you and give it a try. It's a lot of fun.
That's just weird.
Hey, Joey, can I ask you, at what kind of a show? Is it a pet accessory show?
Well, what we do is we have professional pet grooming shows where we have conferences and education, and you have grooming competition and has the newest and greatest products. And the biggest one in the world is in Hershey, Pennsylvania, that just happened a couple weeks ago.
Judy is right now attaching eyelashes to Ladybug, the studio stunt dog.
They are awesome. Oh, my God. Wait till I take her out and everybody sees her with her pink toenails and eyelashes.
Crazy, man.
She has his big eyes anyway. How cute.
Is he here on the phone? Oh, this is cool. Hey, Harrison, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Harrison Forbe, back on Animal Radio. What are you up to lately, buddy?
You know, how it's so crazy how so much stuff is going on now. I look back at my old radio notes from 20 years ago.
They've changed.
You had to dig around to find stories, and now it's just such a different world.
Well, everybody loves their animals, and now the animals that 25 years ago were sleeping in the doghouse are now jostling for room in your bed, or at least with me.
Exactly.
And I'll sleep in any weird positions just to accommodate my animals.
So you don't disturb them,
Yes, I don't want them to lose their beauty sleep, for heaven's sakes.
Then they'll annoy you all the next day and make you pay for it.
Well, now you've been training dogs for a while. How long have you been doing that?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to put a definitive start date on it. I mean, I started working with a trainer when I was 8. So I was doing some more formal type of training on my own dogs, you know, when I was 9, 10 years old. And I guess that was kind of the start of it.
But, you know, I mean, there's still people that are old school. My son got a puppy, and he got a German Shepherd puppy, and he was under the understanding that he shouldn't even begin training until that puppy was 6 months old. So he kind of let it just run around the backyard. When should training begin?
Well, I do a lot with a dog from 5 weeks to 20 weeks during kind of that imprinting phase.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really training as much as imprinting. I'm doing a ton of socialization. I do a lot of nerve, different things to get them used to a lot of different surfaces, loud noises, going to the store, getting in and out of a car, all those kind of things during that phase. So it's not really teaching a sit, down, stay necessarily. When I was a teenager going back and forth to Europe, when I first started doing more of the police dog side of it, you know, the old trainers over there, they exposed their dogs to tons of training from the time they were 6 and 12 months old. But from 7 months to 10 months, they really didn't do anything at all with them except just let them. They had tiles all around the training field, so the dogs would watch the older dogs work, but they didn't do anything with them. They said that's when the body grows and the mind is on deep freeze for a couple of months so far as learning. And so I think those kind of things are where we get a little bit of this mislabeling like your son had, where they think, well, they're not supposed to train until they're 6 months old. Well, that's not really true. You know what I mean? I think some of the semantics get tied up and lost in the translation from time to time.
We are with Harrison Forbe, a bevy of knowledge. And, you know, I could probably sit here for hours and just learn so much. But I want 3 tips. Can you give us 3 tips you would say are probably the key tips dog owners need to know about training?
I mean, I think do your research on your breed or your type of dog. If you have a mixed breed dog, find out what makes them tick and what they're predisposed to, you know, and use that to your advantage. If you've got a dog that's got a herding background, start using training games and things that rely on herding instincts. So use all the information to your advantage and try and work your training through those natural predispositions. Expose them to as much as you can. And then I guess last one, you want a good solid quality nutrition and good pet care to keep them in top shape and keep them in working condition. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday that was trying to do some Schutzen training with a dog, and they were feeding their dog this horrible food. And I said, when's the last time you saw an Olympian eating a Happy Meal every day for the 3 months prior to getting ready for the Olympics? I mean, you know, you got to feed them like you're feeding yourself.
Harrison Forbes, the most amazing. Here's a guy that I wish I had his job. He was traveling all around the world.
Sitting on the radio.
Anytime you want to switch, buddy, I'll travel all around.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Fido-friendly hotels and destinations where Fido is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Fido Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Fido is always welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
You can ask your questions from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's a free download, so go download that puppy right now. On today's show, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Jason Feldman. He's a realtor that specializes in pet-friendly housing. Hard to believe that there is such a thing.
You know, the animal industries, there's lots of little niches.
Well, I think people are starting to realize it's a $60 billion a year industry.
Well, you see the car makers now. Sure. Everybody's just finding their little niche for this.
And it's hard to find good pet-friendly housing. Dr.
I
Debbie,
like to rebuild my house.
That's what I was going to ask you is, did you have pets before you moved into your house?
The current house we have, we actually purchased because of our dogs, because we had to have a pool for them to swim. We had to have tile on all the main level, a dog, kind of area in the laundry room where they could get fed and everything taken care of, their teeth brushed, all of that kind of stuff, all in those vicinities. So, yeah, we bought specifically for our dogs.
Okay, well, this guy has made a career out of doing this, finding houses that are especially for those pet-friendly people. And he'll also tell you how you can sell your house if you're selling it to maybe not a pet-friendly person, but just somebody who just doesn't need to know that you had animals. That's on the way right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question first. Give me like the sound that a dog makes.
Woof. Woof. Woof.
Okay. Yeah. All right. A horse. Oh, very good, students. Very good. Okay, what sound does a giraffe make?
Pretty good.
Nobody seems to know.
I don't know.
No, that was my giraffe imitation right there. It doesn't make sense.
No,
does it?
I don't know.
Does make sound?
I don't know. I've never heard a giraffe.
I'll tell you what it does in the next newscast, okay?
Oh, I'm going to stick around.
We're
going
to learn a new animal sound.
I learned so much on this show.
I wonder if it's some of those little see and play little round things that you had. It would
a
point
giraffe
to
makes
giraffe.
This noise. Now, I don't. Yeah. I would have known that. Thanks for this news story. Not as cheery as the last hour's news story. Oh, I guess it is cheery. This is, you know, in South Korea, they eat dogs, right? Which is horrible. Because,
speaking of cheery, Hal, what is that?
Well, 29 dogs that were part of a meat farm in South Korea, they have arrived in San Diego, and they're looking for forever homes. Part of 100 dogs that were rescued by the Humane Society International. And Humane Society International not only rescued those dogs, but paid the farmer to transition to other crops. So
that weren't live.
Yeah. So the dogs are in San Diego. They're mostly Mastiffs, Jindu Mixes, and Chihuahuas. Which
Chihuahuas. I love the
How
Chihuahuas.
How much meat you get off of a Chihuahua?
That's exactly what I was going to say. But if I had said it, you all would have gotten on my case for saying.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones for your calls right now.
Hi, Jake. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in Parker, Arizona.
Parker, are you driver?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you are on with Dr. Debbie.
Well, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I got a cat. I think he has dandruff.
Okay.
Okay, and I brush him, and, you know, I don't wash him or anything, but it just seems like, you know, the top of his back and stuff, it's all flaky. I thought it was dirt at first, but it just, you know, it just keeps... showing up. And I'm not sure what I can do to help him out with that.
Okay. Does he come with you in the truck, or is he back at home?
No, he's at home.
Okay. And do you notice any kind of problems with him? Does he seem to scratch excessively? Have any problems with those areas that you see the dandruff?
No, not at all.
And does your kitty live inside or an outdoor kitty?
He stays inside. Every now and then he'll go out in the backyard for about 10 minutes or so. He just kind of sits on the porch, and then he comes back in.
Kind of checks out things, looks around the neighborhood.
Yeah, just to get a little bit of fresh air, and then, you know, he comes right back in.
With the dandruff that he has on his back, is there any kind of hair loss? Does he have any patches or anything?
Not any patches, but, he's always shedding a little bit.
Yeah, well, that will never get rid of. Not entirely.
I brush him at least once a week. But I was hoping to brush the dandruff out, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, and, a lot of kitties can get, there's dandruff, which will associate with a medical problem, and then there's going to be kind of what I call the typical kitty dandruff. And, there are some real medical things that we look at. It is not an unheard of thing to have types of mites or little skin parasites that can cause kind of a flakiness. Generally with that, we're going to have a scratchy kitty. We're going to have a kitty that you touch that area and you run your fingers over in a little scratching motion, and they're going to go, ooh, golly, this really feels funky. So with those situations, we're going to have a more uncomfortable cat. There are certainly also things like ringworm, which is actually not a worm, but it's a fungus that can cause some scaliness, some types of dry skin that we might see in those areas. But if I'm assuming all those things don't apply to your kitty, there are a lot of cats out there that have dandruff, and it can be somewhat a nutritional thing, and somewhat it is also just a grooming type issue. So if the kitties don't groom themselves very vigorously, and I see this in a lot of maybe chubby kitties or cats that just have a really dense hair coat and can't get quite through it, they will get kind of a flakiness. So your efforts at home, definitely, I would maybe up the frequency of your brushing to try to get in there a bit more frequently. Because when you use a brushing or a comb technique, you're actually spreading the natural oils around the skin and stimulating that hair. So that's a good thing, and I would try to increase your frequency on that. The other thing which I would look at would be maybe using some fatty acids as a supplement to your cat's diet. And it's sometimes a little challenging to get cats to accept this, but there are liquid forms, which are maybe a bit easier than a capsule to get down a cat. But that can be helpful to kind of help from the inside out. And fatty acids help to keep the hair coat in good condition and help to minimize dryness. Doesn't necessarily stop that shedding, but that may help to kind of keep that hair coat in a little bit better condition. So I would really try those two things and work on that, and unless you perceive that there's some other kind of skin problem or discomfort there.
Okay.
And are you able to do the brushing? Does kitty sit for that pretty good?
Yeah, I do it. Well, I do it once a week. That's when I come home. But, I'll try to get my wife to do it, a little more often while I'm gone, And then I'll look for that fatty acid stuff and see if I'll maybe go to a PetSmart or something would carry that?
Yeah, you can either get fatty acids at your local veterinarian, pet stores, any of those type of places. It's a nutritional product, it's usually pretty well taken as far as minimal side effects, and it can really help. So, and I'm an advocate for things that will help with the least annoyance to the pet and the most ease for the pet owner. So, give that a try, and I hope that works out for you. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio.
I believe we have Vaughn on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Vaughn, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Where are you calling from?
Yeah, right now I'm going through Needles, California.
Ooh, must be hot out there, huh?
Yeah, it's about 105.
Oh. Okay, well, you are on with Dr. Debbie. Who are we talking about today? What, the cat or the dog?
The cat.
Okay, what's up with your cat?
Okay, we was living in one place, and we decided it needed to be bigger, so we jerked it out and put another modular unit in. But before we moved over the modular unit, he just seemed like he liked to urinate in the floor all the time. in the hallway. Well, after he moved out of there, now he's wanting to go in the living room.
Okay. And when he's urinating, where is he urinating exactly? In the center of the room, against the walls, in the corners?
Basically about anywhere he decides to. He don't have really direction that he wants to. It's like one time it can be in the middle of the floor, one time it can be close to the wall.
Okay. And does the kitty go outside, or are we just staying inside?
He just staying inside.
And is he a neutered kitty? Has he been altered?
Yeah.
All righty. Very good. And do you have other cats running around the house, too, or just him?
I got about 9 other ones outside.
Now, do any of those cats come inside?
Well, they sneak in.
This is a problem that we've had around the Animal Radio studios. There's so many cats outside that the cats inside spray to mark their territory. I believe that's what's going on. Could that be what's going on with him?
You know, absolutely. It's a very confusing situation when, you know, he's got different signals and different thoughts. You know, cats that are indoors can live a happy indoor existence, but when we start to have personalities in cats that they're seeing and smelling that live outside, then there's a whole territory kind of question. So, you know, it's very possible that your kitty could be having problems where he's trying to mark his turf. You know, I first want to make sure we don't have a health problem, and you always should have a urine check to make sure we don't have any infections or stones or problems of those natures. But boy, it really sounds like he has the possibility that he is just frustrated. We'd really need to figure out some way to accommodate his world differently. We would want to either keep the blinds closed, keep the other cats out, and let him live his happy indoor existence, or make an accommodation where, you know, we've got, a certain cat that stays inside with him. There's so much that goes into the marking of their territory that some cats will spray on corners, some will spray in the middle of the floor, others will go into bathtubs, and sometimes right in front of your very face. So I'd really want to make sure that we kind of block the scenario where these other cats could be, seeing your kitty. And then at the same time, make sure everything's kosher with that litter box, because if it stinks, your cat's not going to want to use it.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
I'm Emmy Lou Harris. Keeping a dog on a chain or in a pen is about the worst thing a person can ever do to him. It goes against everything a dog is: social, a pack animal, eager to please. Chaining a dog hurts his body and his mind. It's actually a form of animal abuse. A terrible punishment for just being born. Please look out for any dog penned or chained. Talk to people about how to keep a dog inside. Make him part of the family. Everyone will be happier. Thank you for being a dog's best friend.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on?
Hi, this is Tanya Tucker on Animal Radio. Love those pets.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Ow. Larry Codman. Sorry, Larry Blackman. Being bitten in the codpiece. By his dog.
Wow, Hal.
That's where you went with that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Larry Blackman has a bunch of, he has pit bulls and he has all kinds of dogs and a few turtles. Not a lot of people know he has turtles and flamingos, just in case. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of stuff you learn here right on Animal Radio, right out of my mouth.
Nowhere else.
Hey, Bob, where are you calling from?
The Woodlands.
Where is that?
Texas.
Texas, the woodlands of Texas. Okay. You are on with Dr. Debbie.
Oh, good.
Well, hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Debbie. Here's my question. We have a Yorkie puppy who weighs right at a pound. And when we took her to the vet, the first vet said she's too small to give a sentinel heartworm and flea tab.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to a second vet who said, no, you can go ahead and give her one because you just have to break it in half. And he gave me an 11 to 25 pound tab.
Okay.
Which still seems like too much. So I called Sentinel on their 800 number, and they said that they don't recommend it for any dog less than 2 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question is, what kind of flea treatment? I want to get her on some kind of a heartworm regimen, and I also would like to get her on some kind of a flea regimen.
Right, absolutely. And that's, is she the only dog you have?
She's the only dog, yes.
Up to right now, have they used regular deworming products on her for other purposes, as far as for, like, you know, the intestinal worms? They hopefully dewormed her in those respects.
Right. Yeah, we used a couple different pills. One was a pill and one was kind of a liquid. But neither one of those, one was for some kind of worms, the other was for some kind of parasite. Couldn't think of the word. So,
okay, yeah.
Again, I'm back to, you know, when can you do something for fleas and what can you do? Right now we use Dawn detergent, which actually...
Good old Dawn.
Yeah, well, actually it works. But I hate to give her a bath every week, but that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and let me ask you, do you have a lot of flea problems in your area?
Well, in the area we do, but we have a screened-in porch. We take her out there, and she has a little puppy pad, so she doesn't...
So she's probably not one of those dogs that spends a lot of time outdoors roaming the great yonder.
Zero.
A one-pound Yorkie could... Yeah. A one-pound Yorkie could easily be a prey for, like, a large bird or something like that. So we do have to be careful.
Here's the question. Heartworm and flea protection. What would you recommend?
Well, you know, every region's a little bit different in what their veterinarians were probably most comfortable with. I do have, you know, definitely I share the concerns with a small dog and using some products. And I would always fall back on the manufacturer because they're going to be the ones that stand behind the product legally. So if they say not to use the heartworm flea medication for her, then I'm going to honor that. For smaller pets in my office, we very commonly will use, as far as heartworm protection, we'll use Heart Guard, which is a type of a monthly chewable, as well as Interceptor. And those are some of the products that we'll use in our office. As far as flea tick products, you can kind of switch things up a little bit and you can try some different things. And, you know, regular bathing with Dawn is great to just kind of remove the fleas, but it doesn't do a lot to really give us some long sustained protection. So we would certainly look at maybe something like, I'm a fan of Frontline when it comes to flea and tick control. And that's the type, either a topical spot on, or spray on that you can apply to the pet. So it's nice and convenient when we have one product that kind of does everything, but you might kind of have to mix and match just so that we're keeping in mind her small size and, you know, covering your bases with you know, all the different things we got to worry about with our puppy dogs in the infectious disease world.
Well, I appreciate it. We've had two dogs in our lives. One lived 18 years and one lived 17 years. This is our third. And but this is by far the smallest.
I gotta ask here. I gotta butt in. You know, we just got a Chihuahua, and it weighs at a puppy at 10 weeks old. It's a pound and a half, almost 2 pounds.
Right.
Is that kind of small for a Yorkie to be a pound? I mean, that's pretty small.
Well, she was a runt. Her brothers towered over her, I don't know. She's awfully. She weighed 14 ounces when we took her to the vet the first time, and she was 7 weeks old.
Yeah, and some of those breeds, we definitely can see some lines where they breed towards the really tiny, the really small, almost teacup-type size. There's good and bad with that. They're easy to carry around. A lot of people really love the really tiny ones. But you do have to be a little bit on the watch for, you know, some genetic things, and then definitely the size-related problems of just kind of getting underfoot and, you know, being a tiny dog in a big world.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Bob. This is Dr. Debbie on Animal Radio.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Groundbreaking research has found that caring for pets can improve the behavior and social interaction of troubled teens. Backed by a 3-year grant from the IAMS company, CBR Youth Connect set out to scientifically evaluate whether working with dogs in its innovative pet therapy program, New Leash on Life, could effectively help troubled teens. The Colorado program pairs unwanted dogs with troubled teens who then care for and train the dogs for 10 weeks prior to being placed in adoptive homes. Many teens in the program improved in some crucial areas of functioning, with gains in positive social behavior, including bonding and attachment, anger management, and responsibility. The dogs improved, too. You can adopt one at PetFinder.com. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people, too. Animal Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Frankie Avalon, and I love Animal Radio. Keep listening.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Hey, there's some good news on the animals and kids allergy front these days. A new study has found that infants who share a home with kind of furry pets were found to share some of the animal's gut bacteria, which might explain why exposing children to animals early in the kid's life may protect them from some allergies. In this research, the infant's mothers, in fact, had a history of allergies, so those babies were really at an increased risk of having allergies, too. One of the researchers was so encouraged by the findings of this study that she said, quote, if a family with a pregnant mother or an infant wants to have a pet, well, the family can be encouraged to have one because the development of allergic disease cannot be prevented by avoiding pets. New laws and ordinances to protect animals are popping up all over these days, like the new laws that prohibit pet stores from selling animals from puppy mills. Well, now in New York, the Niagara County legislature there will consider a local law to create a county registry of people who are convicted of abusing animals that would prevent any pet adoption agency or store from selling animals to those people. A public hearing on the proposal will take place October 20th. You know, under this proposal, animal abusers would have to pay a fee to register with it, much like state sex offender registries do, and their photos, names, and current addresses would remain on the website for up to 15 years. Elephants trumpet, right? Horses whinny, owls screech, dogs bark, cats meow, you know. But do you know what a giraffe says? Now experts have found out that giraffes might not say anything, but they do a lot of humming, and they've got some recordings now that show what it sounds like. What experts have learned is that as evening progresses and sunlight begins to wane, giraffes begin to hum at a very, very low frequency that is so low it cannot be heard by human ears. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. We're just talking about how hard it is to find a place to live with your pets. and what was it? Francesco Martigliano last week. We were talking about how he can find a place for his goat.
Can he?
He can find a place for his goat, but for his cat or his dog? No.
No way. Huh?
Certainly can't do it. It's tough. And if you find a place, you got to put a huge deposit down.
Oh, yeah. They're really going after the pet owner, making them pay.
And then you got to lie. You got to, you know, say you have, like if you have four cats, you got to say you have two cats.
Yeah, you only admit to half of them.
They know that you're bold-faced lying anyway. But that is how you search for places. Now, that's how we got our place.
Sure.
And thankfully, the landlord doesn't listen to this show. Hopefully. She could. But anyway. So we got this guy on, Jason Feldman. He's a Chicago realtor. He specializes in pet-friendly homes, which is cool. I mean, he's selling homes, so it's a little easier than the whole rental situation.
Yeah.
But if you've ever had a cat in a house or the cat's lived in a house before you and they've urinated, I mean, that could destroy a whole house.
Yeah, when people come in looking to buy a home, they don't want to smell that or see that.
He has 7 tips for selling your home when you have a pet. We welcome him to the show. Jason, how you doing?
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Chicago, a big, bustling real estate market, and you probably have to help people sell homes that pets have lived in, and that can't be easy, can it?
Well, it depends how responsible of a pet owner you have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
depends on how well they keep it clean.
Well, I mean, because I'm a responsible pet owner, but I wouldn't want to buy this house. Well, no, I mean, we've had a lot of cats living in it, a lot of animals. I mean, say it's truly disgusting. And I don't know how deep into the wood floors it goes. But I'm a responsible owner.
Front door, maybe. Agreed. Well, of course, I haven't seen your house yet, so I can't fully agree with you completely.
Okay.
Well, he'd give us some tips, Hal, on selling this place.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, what kind of tips would you give me?
Well, if you're selling the home, I would definitely do what we tell people who have newborns about going ahead and baby-proofing a home. I'd say get on your hands and knees, crawl around, see what the animals see, and you'll find pretty quickly some of the things that you normally wouldn't see from the vantage point of a full-grown two-legged adult.
Like all the nose prints on that level of the wall and on the glass?
The nose prints, the slobber buildup, scratches, you know, it really depends how, you know, the angles you look at it to see, you know, how noticeable certain things are. Yeah. Now we're getting really gross, but yes, you can definitely see a lot more when you get on your hands and knees and take a look and see what they see.
When you stage a house, should you even let the people know that you have animals? Should I pick up the bowls
and
stuff?
Hide them?
Or should I hide the fact that I even had animals?
Definitely you should definitely pick up the food bowls, pick up the poo pee pads, move the litter, clean the litter first, please. Please clean the litter first. You do not want people inhaling that when they walk into a room.
I don't know. My litter smells like chocolate chip cookies.
Stop it, Hal.
I'm sorry.
Well, I love chocolate chip cookies. I wouldn't mind tasting your chocolate chip cookies as long as it's not in a bed of litter.
What else?
I would definitely say, you know, clean up anything that has any kind of odors whatsoever, or anything that looks like an animal has lived there. You do not want to, you know, for full disclosure, you do not want to, you know, hide anything particular. Say, you know, there's no pet that ever lived here. People will notice it, but you definitely don't want people walking through your kitchen into the side room where maybe the laundry room is and stepping on dog pee. It's not a good situation when you're trying to show a house.
I have a question. What do you do for those people who, because I was actually just in this situation, you're selling your house, but you have lived there for so long that you don't smell what other people smell when they come in.
That's a great question. Ode to cat and dog smell. I would actually suggest you have someone else come in who doesn't spend a lot of time there. Come in and let's ask them if they notice anything.
And should you remove the animal, I guess, like during an open house? I went to a house one time, and I opened the closet, and there was an animal in the closet. And I don't know who was more surprised, me
really?
Or the animal. Yeah.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, I know. It was
Yeah,
shocking.
When you have the glowing eyes of a cat on the top shelf of a closet, and you walk in, and this thing is peering down at you, it can freak people a little bit. Whenever possible, the dog especially should be removed from the house. At the least, it should be crated. Many times people will say, well, just don't go into a room, right? There's a dog in there or a cat in there. And uh-huh. You know, you're trying to show off your house. So I would say, when possible, hire a a dog walker during the showings during open house. Cats are a little more difficult, obviously. You know, most people don't walk them down the street, but when possible, do remove them. I've been in situations where an agent would say, you know, yeah, the keys are with the doorman. You go to the doorman, you get the keys, and oh, and by the way, just make sure you don't let the cats out. And then, you know, you walk in there, and you're peering through the cracks just to see if, you know, killer cat is going to be there waiting to be sprung loose and run through the hallways. So whenever possible, definitely get the animals out of the house. And you know, if it's a cat, you know, try and isolate it to a certain area.
We are with Jason Feldman. He's a Chicago realtor, and he specializes in pet-friendly housing. Are more and more people looking for accessories in the house that are pet-related, like baths, big baths?
The humanification of animals, pets, is obviously an extremely big marketing campaign in this country. And so you can pretty much find any bells and whistles that you'd find for a person, you'd find for a dog or a cat now.
Well, I've learned so much. Thank you for devoting your real estate business specifically to pet-friendly real estate. I think that's a great move. I hope to see more realtors doing that. Jason Feldman joining us. His website, ChicagoPetFriendlyRealEstate.com, and links to everything you've heard on today's show over at AnimalRadio.com. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great.
We're going to head back to the phones for your calls.
Vinny Penn coming at you with another party animal installment. That's right. Despite all your emailing, I have not been canceled. Okay, that's a joke. Nobody's been emailing about getting me canceled or kicked off the air. I had an interesting drunken fight the other night, believe it or not. A girl I went to grammar school with, I've known since sixth grade. Now our kids are in the same class together. And we were talking about what fans we were of Benji. When we were young, back in the 70s, the Benji movies, you all must remember them. And her husband, who up until this point seemed like a pretty good guy, all of a sudden turned it into a Rolling Stones versus the Beatles thing and started just, it was Lassie this and Lassie that. And it was like, bro, I actually stood up, bro, whoa, we're talking about Benji here. No reason to bring up that corny collie. Next thing you know, it was Benji versus Lassie. How Lassie always knew how to communicate and get Timmy. Why was Timmy always in trouble? Why was he always falling down wells and letting tree branches land on top? Maybe Timmy needed, you know, Timmy was just, he was a little too needy. Benji got involved. He stopped bank robberies. I mean, Benji kind of ran on his own. He was a lone dog. Yes, it was a pathetic night, actually. It really was kind of embarrassing that we could get into a Benji versus Lassie argument. Maybe you'd like to chime in. Drop me a line, vinny@animalradio.com. I say I won that argument. I'm going to double check with Maria, see if her husband's still pissed. He looked like he was going to punch me at one point. Vinny Pad, party animal, Animal Radio.
This is Animal Radio.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Who do we have on the phone with us?
Hi, this is Marianne.
Hi, Ariane. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Where are you?
I'm in Avon, Connecticut.
You're on with Dr. Debbie.
Hi, Dr. Debbie.
Well, hi. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. My question is, we're getting a puppy in about a week and a half.
Very fun.
It's exciting. I'm nervous, but the breeder and the book that she recommended both say that we should keep the puppy, like, in a box close to our bed for the first couple of nights. And then, you know, I have a lot of dogs in my neighborhood, a lot of dog owners, and they say, well, some people say you should keep the puppy in the crate so they don't get used to it, you know, being close. So I was wondering what you thought.
Okay. What kind of puppy are you getting?
We're getting a Labradoodle.
A Labradoodle. Oh, the best of both worlds there.
That's right.
I'm a Labrador lover myself, so I definitely think the Labrador and any mixes thereof are fabulous.
Yeah.
As far as, have you had dogs before, or is this your first dog?
It's really, I mean, I had dogs growing up, but this is really our first family dog.
Okay. And it's a great time. Puppyhood is so much fun, but it's also some of the most frustrating time you'll ever have with your, yeah, your with your dog. And I am a firm believer in the crate training method. I'm not really sure what the box thing was. If they were alluding to a crate, then I definitely support that. But I don't see a reason to keep a box as a kind of a way of you know, confining the pet, because it really doesn't do the same thing that a crate does.
Right.
The idea with crate training really is that we're pulling out an instinct that dogs already have. They already have that instinct to want to kind of sleep in an enclosed area. And if you look at wild dogs, you know, that's what they do. Wolves sleep in a den. They go out elsewhere to go poop and to go pee. So I definitely believe in that, and to pull that instinct out and to use it to our advantage so that we can use that for house training and and also for, you know, to keep them away from things that they might get into when they're not supervised.
Yeah.
And do you have reservations about that method?
Well, no, I'm all for the crate training, and the book that I just kind of solely read is that Monks of New Skete, which seems like a good training book. But I think she was saying to keep them close to you, like for the first couple of nights, so that they're not completely freaked out. I don't know what you think about that. I don't want to sleep in my mud room by the crate.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that it's important for them not to feel totally abandoned. I personally could not sleep with my puppies in the room, but I had a very vocal puppy who slept very loudly. He was a whiner, a crier, a kicker in his sleep, and that was just very disruptive. I do think it's important when you get a new puppy to do a couple things to make them feel as comfortable as possible, and remembering we're yanking them away from mom and all their siblings. So I do believe in using some of the sound therapies, getting a nighttime sound machine. You know, some people will play quiet music, but I think some of the water sounds, the nature sounds, some of those type of things are very soothing. And there's specialized tapes you can get for puppy training that are geared exactly towards that. There's one called heartbeat therapy, which is very useful for kind of calming dogs. And then, you know, making sure that, you know, they have a comfortable spot. But I'm a believer in kind of letting them cry it out.
Okay.
just like people with kids, you know, if they cry and you pick them up, then, you know, you're reasserting that behavior and getting what they want is your attention. And, I think it's more important to raise a puppy who is independent and who doesn't always have to cling to the human in the household.
You know what, Marianne, I'm going to give you just some tips that we've learned in the last couple of days. I don't know if you can hear the chihuahua in the background. This this brand new chihuahua just came into the studios a couple of days ago. And Judy, you're dealing with that at home. You're dealing with the whole sleeping issues.
I'm not sleeping. There are no sleeping issues. That's the problem.
That's not true. That's not completely true. You are sleeping, but
I am.
Is the dog with you at the time?
Yes, what I've done is I've got her in a crate, and I keep her right by my bed. And if she wakes up in the night and starts whimpering, I stick my fingers through the crate, and she kind of smells them and sucks on them, and she'll go right back to sleep. I think it's important to keep her with you, but still keep her confined.
Let her see you,
right? She knows I'm there.
But don't become too dependent upon that.
Well, I'm very dependent upon her.
You know what else you were using is this CD you brought in, Companion Music from Pet Botanica, or Pet Botanica Boutique, which is, it says it's a great way to help ease the stress of separation for your pet naturally. Does that work? Does the CD work?
I think so. She really calms down. She's running around and crying, and if I play this music, she kind of lays down, and she settles down very well. She's only 8 weeks old, so it's working for her.
And we use a tape like that here in our kennels
to
help calm pets when they're away from their families. And it definitely has some good basis. So, yeah, I think some of those tools, I kind of disagree with, you know, keeping the puppy right by the bed.
You know,
because not every dog is going to respond and go to sleep.
Mm.
Some are going to take that little finger in the cage as a way of saying, oh, mommy's going to play with me now. So for me, that was never a part of my puppy training that I felt that ever worked. It was more disruptive for the training purpose.
Okay, so it's tough love all the way around, huh?
It is in my house.
Okay. Hopefully that helps. Send us pictures of your new dog, okay? Your Labradoodle.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Good luck.
Well, there you go. It has just flown by once again. Thank you so much for spending the last 2 hours with us. If you missed any part of it, you can head over to the website or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android and listen to it and ask your questions anytime you desire. Check out Dr. Debbie's books, Yorkshire Terriers, Shih Tzus, Pugs, Mini Schnauzers, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. They're Amazon Kindle books, and we have more information over at the website at animalradio.com. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.